I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I had to search the bowels of hell, but I found someone. Someone who'll make them remember. He may get the blood, but I'll get the glory. And that fear is my ticket home.
My special, special boy.
This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to FilmSack. This is FilmSack. Mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. This is the final episode of Sacktober 2021. Yeah, I know. It's disheartening to hear that.
Terrifying.
Mm-hmm. Another year gone. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by Brian. I thought he burned in a school boiler Dunaway.
Yeah, it was the basement. They burned him in his own boiler. Oh, hi.
Hi.
One, two, three, Freddy's coming for me. Wait a second. Why am I jumping and singing this dumb song? I haven't skipped rope since I was a 6-year-old girl in ponytails. Oh, no. Is this a nightmare? 6-5-4. Hey, shut your back door. What's that? You left it open for the cats. Okay, sorry about that, but don't blame me if somebody walks in and hacks and folds one of you up into a bed burrito. 7-8. Prop comic, I ain't. Am I still a virgin? 7-8, am I still a virgin if I masturbate? Yes. Yes, you are. Unless split personalities. Uh-huh. Kick, 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 kick. Mama, mama. Kick, 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 kick. Oh, thank God it's Jason Voorhees. He'll save me from this nightmare of my intro. Hey, Jason, this scarecrow says free beer and is pointing that way. All right, now he's just staring at me. 9-10, Freddy's back again. Oh, come on. How did I even fall asleep? The last thing I remember was writing my FilmSack intro, and Randy came in and he gave me a bottle of Did I Ever Tell You Boys About the Time? And I was out like a light. Damn you, Randy. Avenge me, Jason Voorhees. I am your mother, and Randy has been very bad. Randy?
Wow. A lot of Randy in the intro.
Did you read that while you're on the treadmill?
No, I had jump rope. I got a real jump rope over here. You didn't hear it?
Yeah, a real jump rope. Okay,
good. Yeah. Wow. I'm doing props now.
Really are. Going all in. I like it. I like
now
your commitment.
Now I'm out of breath, though. God.
Stick to the bit or whatever it is. Oh, commit to the bit. Sorry. Okay. With us also, Randy. He never lets go of his beer can, even when he's getting stabbed really bad and folded in half, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott.
Brian. And thank you for not responding to when asked by a horny naked girl on the dock in the lake at night. That was fun. It just sucks how this shirt allows one, but only one of my boobs to completely come out when I run. Thank you all for buying my new book, How to Survive a Grizzly Attack by More Than One Supernatural Killer, now in paperback. You're gonna live through this thing if you just follow my 3-ish simple rules. Number one, don't have sex or get naked. Or think about sex, or, and this is important, dream about sex, or Don't be the father of someone who has raging hormones. Remember, you're a father because a long time ago you had sex. Number two, if you somehow manage to eradicate all sex from your life and your mind, make sure you don't do their job and kill yourself. Mm. Number three, describe a killer to the cops. Now, do not describe the killer to the cops if he's supernatural. They're not going to believe you, but they won't help you. So you need to give them something. And by that, I mean anything that sounds like a believable description. So you might get some help. Number four. That's right, four.
Wait.
Number four. Get out of situations where there's a lot of loud sounds. Otherwise, you're going to be at a sex party at someone's house, and you're having sex, and the bedroom door's open, and there's a thunderstorm, so people can't hear you getting killed by the bed folding up.
Well, we all really like that bed, I guess.
That is, yeah, that was that. Probably, I mean, really for deaths, that was probably the best one for me. I don't want to spoil anything.
Yeah, you don't want to
plus,
spoil
it was Taco Tuesday.
Yeah,
it was Taco Tuesday. True story.
Totally more appropriate when it's Taco Tuesday. Also with us, finally, Brian, keep him away from the glow stick exhibit.
Oh, rave time. Okay, guys, now that we have Jason unconscious, we need to figure out a plan to take both him and Freddy Krueger out for good. The advantage is that Freddy Krueger's weakness is fire and Jason's is water. They're like Pokemon, you see. And each one is strong in their own realm, but weak in each other's realm. Before I go any further, I'm just looking around here in the back of this van and realizing that, I don't know, maybe installing black lights when there's so much carpeting on the walls was a really bad idea. Anyway, live and learn. Lori, we're going to inject you with the same hypnosil that we used on Jason. You and Jason will both be in Freddy's dream realm, and when the two of them start fighting, I'll wake you up and we'll pull Freddy out, leaving both Jason stuck in Freddy's realm and Freddy stuck in this one. No, you don't think the audience is going to be able to figure this one out? Okay, all right, how about this? We get both of them to put their hands on this weird Egyptian idol that I found and make them wish they were in the body of the other one. Then we'll make a giant bolt of lightning come down and strike the idol while they're touching it. When they wake up, Freddy will be in Jason's body and Jason will be in Freddy's body. And after a while, they'll see what it's like to live as the other slasher and they'll both be decide to be better slashers overall. No?
I like your idea.
Okay. All right, Lori, how about this? You'll invite both of them out on a date at the same time and at the same restaurant. You're going to hang out with Freddy, and then you'll excuse yourself to go to the bathroom, and then you'll run over to Jason's table and eat with him for a little while. Then after a minute or two, you'll tell him you have a phone call, and you'll run back to the other part of the restaurant to Freddy's table and eat with him for a little bit. Even better, you'll have two different outfits that you'll have to keep changing between each time you swap. You'll keep this going until the end of the date, by which time we'll have figured out what we're going to do. You have a better idea? What do I know? I'm an Uno guy.
Nice. Boy, you really helped illustrate how
the tropiness of it.
Split yeah, personality this movie is. It's so back and forth really all the time.
I want to like say from the start, I liked this a lot. Like I really enjoyed this movie, and I am now about to tear it to shreds and act like I hated it, but I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Yeah. Of all the Jason things and all of Freddy things that we've seen, I think this is the best.
I hate to say it.
Name a better one.
Johnson.
Only because it includes parts of the best Freddy movie, which was Dream Warriors.
I guess so.
In its flashback clip.
I guess that's so. True. But for me, the raw good time is kind of, I don't think those movies were ever they're never scary to me. This movie had some moments where I was like, holy shit, he just spin that guy's neck around? Like, ooh, easy there, Chief. Yeah. Like, there was a real visceral, violent thing happening in this that I feel like we haven't had since the first death in Jason X, and I remember the rest of those deaths being kind of disappointing. And I think
I had more fun in this one than I was expecting to. I'll say that.
That's the point of this one. Mm-hmm. Fun.
Yeah,
that's supposed Freddy versus Jason is supposed to be fun,
and it's supposed to be stupid fun, right? Like it's not meant to be taken seriously.
Like you're like
level.
That spinning the head around for me. It's stupid fun.
Like, it is literally. It is literally like. It's WWE SmackDown. I mean, it literally is those kind of fights.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole the drama, everything about it is just that.
What's weird is they hired a Hong Kong action movie director, Ronnie Yu, to make this movie. And you
not terribly weird, but a little weird. He had done just a few years prior to that, he had done Bride of Chucky.
Oh, I missed that.
So, you know.
Okay. So he had some horror chops. Horror chops.
Yeah, horror
chops. Yeah. And that's fine. I know him mostly from like some Jet Li things and some other stuff.
Yes.
And it's fine, except this horrible story about the one girl, the kind of nerd girl. Who took a shower?
Yeah, the one with the baseball cap to tell you that she's nerdy.
Yeah, that one. That wasn't her in the shower. It was a body double, and there was a giant fight on set. Yeah, huge fight on set because Ronnie Yu was trying to talk her into doing it, even though before all of this happened, she had said, "I'm not doing nudity," and the production team said, "Fine, you're not doing nudity." She gets into the thing, and he's like, come on, you want to do nudity? You want to do some of this nudity?
I wish you hadn't told me that.
I know. I hate that. And I don't know if there's, you know, yeah. I don't know how.
Her character's name was Gib. So, Gib, you know, she Gib. Wasn't going to go long. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. You know, what he did was horrible. No question about that. And so the joke I'm making rests on the laurels of, I'm saying that what he did was horrible, but if he really wanted to get her back, he should have had some really bad nudity for the body double.
Oh, you mean our like children?
A 80-year-old woman.
But even like somewhat bad, right? Like would be fine. Like this movie does not at all depend on perfect continuity.
And no, it really doesn't. Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But when they killed her, was it already written like that? Because she died a really stupid death because she was just in dream world and got stabbed in real world while she was being raped by glow stick rave boy. that was a pretty
Depeche
humiliating
Mode
death.
Glow stick man. Yeah.
Yeah. That was
looked
rough.
Like Billy Idol to me, that dude.
Yeah.
Okay. Bit, I can see that.
Can we come back and try to describe the plot? Just like a plot summary.
Well, let me tell you what IMDb says, because IMDb has it too wrong, I think. And then Randy, I'd like to hear your version. Here's what IMDb says: Freddy Krueger and Jason Voorhees return to terrorize the teenagers of Elm Street. Only this time, they're out to get each other too.
That's the
stupidest
entirely.
Thing I've ever heard.
All right, give me yours because I agree. I think it's pretty bad. What would you do?
So like the movie starts with a revisiting of a story, right? Mm-hmm. And the story is what happened to Jason, right? Like, like Jason doesn't exist anymore because of what happened to Jason, and it's a really striking scene. Because you don't know what the hell is going on. Why is he? What's his child? And so, and then you realize, this is the past.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so Jason is dead, and then
he's gone to hell.
Since Jason goes to hell, right? Just so we have the continuity,
right? Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Which we saw like 10
But in this movie, Jason is currently dead. He is not a villain because he's not alive. Mm-hmm. And so then they kind of skip the Freddy story. And kind of
gives backstory, right?
They kind of go straight to what Freddy's doing. I'm sorry, what Freddy's doing, and you kind of have to piece it together. So Freddy, you find out, doesn't work anymore because no one remembers
his job.
No one remembers him, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
The idea is that if no one remembers who you are, then that's the whole conceit of the movie, right? Is that
you can't dream of him later.
You can't dream of him or be scared of him if you don't know he exists.
So wait a minute. He has
no power if no one remembers him.
And you said this is 4 years after the events of Jason.
It's supposed
to be,
according to what they said in the movie, it's supposed to be 4 years later.
Okay.
All right.
So that's pretty straightforward. And then we also get like some more bits and pieces. We're not told the plot directly. That's what I'm saying. That we're told the plot by almost like we're investigators and we're finding out things as people are dying and being slaughtered. And
we're Scooby-Doo in this investigation.
Seriously,
right?
Because for example, the fact that Freddy isn't remembered is only a fact because the people who remember him are put in a mental institution and drugged.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like we find
comas.
We find that out, but it's like it's actually a smart movie. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't have somebody tell you that. You have to learn that as you go.
And there's a lot here. There's already a lot of history here already coming into this movie between both the franchises. So you had to like tie a lot of stuff up. You know, getting into it.
Yeah.
Well, Freddy never had a defining movie like Jason Goes to Hell that you had to kind of say, "Ooh, all right, how did he come back from that?" With every other slasher movie, They die at the end. They're resurrected at the beginning. You really don't need to explain it, except when Jason goes to hell. That you need to say, all right, how does he get out of hell?
Well, Jason Goes to Hell was so weird. If you guys remember watching that, right? Do you remember
he was,
oh, that was such a weird one, but I loved it. It's one of my favorites.
That is a weird one. And I always wondered how they were going to, it felt like they were saying, hey, we're done with the series. We're done with Freddy. This is it.
They promised us every time there was a new Friday the 13th movie, this is it. Yeah. This is the final one. This is his final, trip down to wherever. Nope.
What's the worst one? The Manhattan one? Probably that, right?
That one's the one that people seem to hate the most, even though there's a lot of people that say, Jason X goes to space. That's stupid. But people, you got to kind of admit, you kind of like it. It's a little, it's stupid, dumb, but it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Manhattan.
The only ones of these I've ever seen are the ones we've seen here. But continue on.
Okay, so I just want to try to summarize it as fast as I can. Freddy is out of a job, and he needs people to worry about him in order to do his job. His idea is he's going to kill people, and that right there is a plot hole. Wait a minute. How can he kill people if they don't remember him? But nonetheless, he's going to kill people, and they will blame it on him, so he's gonna kill people by resurrecting Jason, because apparently Freddy has that supernatural power. Mm-hmm. He's gonna resurrect Jason. Jason's gonna kill people. People will blame it on Freddy. People will remember Freddy, and now Freddy can come back to Earth and also do some killing. And then he gets pissed off at Jason because Jason's too good at this, and so Freddy has to kill Jason. Or take a chance that Jason will kill him.
Yeah.
This introduces a whole bunch of pieces to the lore that I had no idea ever existed. The fact that Freddy is in it for the glory.
Yeah.
Right.
He says really it right there in that opening thing that we played.
Yeah. Yep.
That he has a weakness to fire, and that Jason has a weakness to water.
Mm-hmm. God. Now, I did roll my eyes when she said that. When she's sitting on her little couch back there.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? I just had an epiphany. Maybe we could use this against him. Like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
To the point where even like you sprinkle him with a hose and he turns into a little baby on the ground in his mind. Like he regresses in dreamland back into baby Jason.
That's where he started.
So stupid. The problem I had with that was I get how Jason, he was drowned, pulled his mom out of there. Like, he's got all these water connections. I get it. He's got more water connections than that movie Brian always hates.
Freddy.
No, the Minority Report.
But they own the water.
But hold on a second. Later, that's what I'm saying. Later on, at the end, spoilers, when they survive and he comes out with a head of Freddy in his hand, that's all water everywhere. Mm-hmm. Are you afraid of it?
Blood is also water, and my gosh, there's plenty of blood splashing around on these guys.
That whole thing is dumb. I don't like that.
Yeah, the blood thing. I didn't care for, because I was like, when they were fighting, because I'm like, neither one of them bleed, especially Jason. Jason, he oozes like a goop. He doesn't really bleed. There's so much blood. And I'm thinking maybe it's all Freddy's. I don't know, maybe cut his forehead, like wrestling. Once you get a little cut, it's just everywhere. I don't know.
Right. I don't know.
I just want to return to the thing I said last week before watching this, because I've never seen this. And all I remembered about it was that it was being advertised like a title fight, and I was supposed to guess who was going to win in advance. And then halfway through this movie, it dawned on me, oh my God, what if there isn't a winner? Like, what if this? What? Yeah, but I know.
I went in expecting that. Like, there's no way one of them is going to completely end the other.
Right.
Now, instead, if they had a sequel, what, were they together again and he was winking at us with his severed head and they were now going to be head and body?
But I guess what I'm saying
Freddy
is
Freddy versus Jason versus Ash.
Yeah.
I was worried it was a double entendre, really, is what I was worried. I was worried that not so much that they wouldn't fight and try to kill each other, but I was worried that the name of the movie was actually describing the town and the people and what they thought. Right?
Yeah.
Because that's where the movie went for a long time. Like, the only thing that matters is what these people guess is going on.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
What if it's Freddy versus Jason in their, collective esteem? Oh, no.
Well, like I said, it's just like a wrestling match. I mean, even if one of them kind of loses, they didn't really lose. They'll be back next time to fight some more.
Except
can you smell
didn't.
What the Rock is cooking?
They sure haven't yet. Can, Ronnie. All they got is the remade Friday the 13th thing, the standalone one, and and then Freddy's New Nightmare, that was called.
Right. So this is considered the end of the original series. Both series end with this movie, and everything after is reboots.
Yeah, and it's. I guess I went into this thinking this is going to be the dumbest thing I've ever seen. It's not. It's schlocky, and it's full of all the shit these movies have in them. But maybe that's what was winning for me, especially a lot of dumb teenagers getting killed. Like, they were true to that. They stuck to that and said, look, it's 2004, but we need to deliver what these movies have always delivered, which is just a slaughter of a bunch of dummies. And and they did that and still had the rivalry. My only complaint, really, is that the two sides of this thing spent an awful lot of time apart from each other. And the Freddy versus Jason part really didn't happen until that cabin thing at the end. And that's fine, but I don't know. I guess I expected... This is a little bit like too many people in your Transformers movie. Just show me the Transformers, you know, kind of like that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, like there's also this thing that's happening at this time. And like, I really had no problem getting into a 2003 mindset with this movie. Like it was amazing how it took me right to that time and what things were like then. And I kept thinking about the movie Scream, because with Scream, Wes Craven upended the entire genre. Right. Mm-hmm. So like we had before that, as I knew of things, I was a kid, I wasn't allowed to watch scary movies. They were scary. People got killed. And then Scream comes along and it puts this crazy notion in your head that maybe this is all just people being silly. Mm-hmm. And maybe they're teenagers and they're funny. Right. Mm-hmm. And all this kind of thing. And so then after that, you need teenagers and you need them to be funny. And so, like, I'm watching this movie, and I'm just like, I hate these people. Yeah. I don't mind if they all die. Why didn't you make some of them likable? Yeah. So I would mind if they die.
Yeah. You know, even Jason Ritter, who's likable, like, he is the buddy you want in every other thing he's ever been in, is just unlikable in this.
Yeah.
In Final Destination, right? We like some of the characters, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Oh,
more
for
so,
sure.
More than here.
Right. So. Yeah. What I think what happened here is this was like almost a kernel of what we saw coming up. We had these horror characters were essentially super villains. They were superheroes. They had all the superpowers. And Jason was actually the likable person in this film, and kind of led later on to like maybe a little bit paved the way for like Leatherface. Did you see the movie where it's like they really get into the backstory of that and you find out that it's like, oh, okay, you know what? Now I'm more sympathetic towards the bad guy.
Yeah.
I am the good guys.
I'm with you 100% on Jason. Jason's the one I cared about and the one I wanted to see obliterate everybody. And that included Freddy. So when he chopped Freddy's head off and had his fingerless hand all jammed up his back hole or whatever. I was like, yes, please, please have this be Jason wins overall. Because Jason's this silent, messed up mother effer. And I like him.
He's just a killing machine at this point.
I want to actually retract one little thing. I may actually have liked the first two people who died.
Yeah, you go.
But they were killed off so fast. Like, of course I'm going to like a naked girl. And the guy who gets killed in the fold up bed, like I think I would have liked him. He seemed
Come on,
like
babe.
He was a douchebag.
Told you twice.
He's a total douche. Like he's a total jerk to her, but he seemed like he had character. You know what I mean?
I see what you mean, sure. Yeah, you can get behind him. I mean character is in
Trey.
I don't think you mean like character like good character. I think you mean like, you know, he'll be an interesting long run, not a likable character,
but a character you're interested in watching.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And if that guy lives for a while and fights back and sometimes, you know, Jason takes a bump on the head and has to, you know what I mean? Like then you're like, oh, okay. I can like Jason. I can find a character.
I like Brendan Fletcher's character as Mark Davis. The one of the two crazies that were up in the asylum.
He's the one that got his bare butt crazy.
He got his feet all messed up with those fake space worms or whatever was going on in the bathroom.
Right, right. Yeah. He's Zach Ward's brother in this movie, right? So I liked his character. I hated that he died in such a kind of a distance way. They just kind of saw him through the window, and he almost felt like he didn't even die. I'm like, are you sure mm-hmm. he's dead? You guys didn't really check really close
because he was slashes across the face and whatever was going on with the feet. Yeah. And
I mean, Freddie hadn't really gotten super strong yet. He was just getting his groove on. So I was like, are mm-hmm. you sure he's dead? I don't think he's dead. Maybe he's coming back.
Yeah.
He did not. I remember that incorrectly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't actually, I've got I don't know if this is chicken the bucket or what this is, but there was this early part where one of them had a dream that he sat down next to his dad. He was pissed at, and the dad's head fell off. Was it a dream or was that real?
No, that happened. They announced it yesterday.
Yeah, they immediately talk about it in the police station.
Okay, but how come? Yeah. Maybe I got confused about what kid was what then, because it seemed like that kid came back.
But that was Blake. So Blake is one of the kids who came over.
He's the one scratching his crotch that you sent us that picture of. Yeah. That's Blake.
So did he die then when Jason?
Yeah, when his dad's head got cut off because the police were saying murder suicide.
Right. So Blake fell asleep and Freddie was effing with him. And then Jason came up and killed Blake's dad. And then Blake woke up. And then Jason.
The head fell off.
Yeah. I like that Jason was very careful to set the severed clean head right on top of the clean shoulders.
Right.
Give me a break.
There's a trope.
Yeah,
that's an actual trope in TV tropes.
Big fat trope.
It's called absurdly sharp blades.
Mm-hmm.
Both Freddie and Jason put these to use. Absurdly sharp. Like, it's just like, you know, unbelievable. Like, physics doesn't work like that. But. Yeah. It's all over this movie, and it's so fun. Man, it is so freaking fun how people get sliced up.
Oh, yeah.
We love that.
That's the thing. I think the movie rightly really leaned into Jason as really superhuman strength. He's just unstoppable.
Yeah. Right.
And
right.
every kill that he did felt visceral and like, oh, my gosh, they really slammed that thing in there.
Yeah, like being able to fire a machete through your victim and then through a big tree.
Yeah, right. That was cool. Also jamming. So this is the incredible sharp object thing, but jamming the severed arm of Freddy through Freddy and having a bunch of the hand come through is just a physics. It's not happening. It doesn't work.
Right. And you know, this is actually probably the biggest problem I had with this film. And I tried not to linger on it too much.
Because
God, you could just really linger on this kind of stuff. So when, you know, Jason, we've already established that he's superhuman at this point. He's, you know, he can do anything. Mm-hmm. He can slice things, dice them. He can fold you up and put you in, make you a burrito.
He's a demon at this point, not a man, not a human.
Yeah, exactly. But Freddy's supposed to only have his power in the dream world. But then when he comes into the real world, he has powers. And I'm like it is a really cool when he comes flying out of the water on that wire and he lands on the deck when Freddy does. That is a really cool scene for me. I'm like, yeah. I got my money's worth right there.
Yeah.
However, I'm like, no, Freddy's in the really real world again. He doesn't have magical powers. Right.
He's kind of a ninja.
He's just sort of a ninja at that point. Like, that's the other, I mean, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but he's jumping around like freaking Jackie Chan out there.
Yeah.
Reminding me of Yoda at the end of Attack of the Clones when he's fighting Count Dooku and bouncing all around.
Oh, that's good.
So I kind of dismissed it because I didn't want to dig into the movie and go, oh, that's stupid. Because, you know, it's fine.
And
they had a fight somewhere. So,
and
I mean,
apparently that was Rey Mysterio, the pro wrestler.
Right.
Who was
on the wire.
Yeah, doing all the jumping.
Wait.
Right.
Oh. Wait, on the wire, the TV show The Wire, or hanging from a wire?
Yes, The Wire. Perfect. That's it. The HBO series. We're talking about The Wire now.
Well, no, you said something about a wire. I thought you said he was on The Wire.
Yeah,
okay, so this is right after Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, and everything in action films wire work.
Okay, right? So when you say someone's on the wire, you can see why I might be confused.
I got you.
He was on the wire. He was on Seinfeld. Fun. No, not that kind of Seinfeld. Fun. The kind that
I'm sorry, like I said, I thought so much about it because I did, and I just assumed you were.
No.
You know, he was a bird on a wire, like a wire.
Yeah, like a wire, like a wire. Isn't there a bird on a wire called Bird on a Wire? Anyway, whatever. That is what they were doing then. And this is a Hong Kong director. He's already does this stuff, right? Like all his movies are, you know, here's Jet Li swinging across a room in an unnatural way. And he just applied some of that here. And I think maybe that's why the movie worked for me, is there, I can feel some of that Hong Kong cinema going on just a little.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. And this was also inspired, Ronnie Yu, the director, I've watched some stuff with him, and he thinks of these movies like comic books. Mm-hmm. So he grew up on comic books. So everything in here was you know, storyboarded out by him, mm-hmm. showing these dynamic, great, you know, you could see it in the end film. Yeah. I mean, you got this really cool Freddy Krueger popping up out of the water. Yeah. Doesn't make sense, but mm-hmm. I didn't question it. I just said, okay,
bring it on.
Yeah.
There was some cool stuff with that.
That's kind of why I like these older ones more than the let's try and do the same character seriously reboots. The Wes Craven's New Nightmare, the new Friday the 13th. Admittedly, I've only seen the former of those two, but it just these kinds of things only work for me if they have that bombastic
charm.
Yeah. Right. They have to be over the top, silly to the point of bad camera work, bad special effects, slightly bad special effects. Otherwise, if it's too serious, it's like, all right, this is.
I mean, it is wrestling.
Too
like
good
I
for
said,
its own good.
It is wrestling. You want the characters to yell big stupid things. You want to see big stupid moves and big stupid stunts, and that's what these kind of films are really good at.
Yeah, I kind of wish there would have been a sequel just to see what they do with it. You know, just
curious. Well, you know, they had talked about doing the Freddy versus Jason versus Ash,
and right,
it just never happened because
that was the movie. I think that was the third thing.
That was the movie. They did a comic on it.
That's right.
I do remember there was something.
Yeah.
If they did it now, would we still want Ash, or would we want like Jason versus Freddy versus Pennywise or
versus Leatherface?
Versus Leatherface. Leatherface feels like the obvious one, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Except Leatherface is a whole lot like Jason in some ways. So I'm not sure he's the right guy.
That's true.
I would like to see Pennywise.
Strong silent type.
That.
Yeah.
That would be kind of neat.
It's, great big
it's
guy
really
with a finger cut stuff.
It's interesting that you compared it to pro wrestling because I'm saying Scream was a watershed moment for scary movies and came in 2006. And in pro wrestling, the Attitude Era starts in about that time, about 2007. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you go from a kind of way of storytelling to a very different, very, you know, loud, bombastic and funny, like lots of humor, right?
Lots of humor. Yeah. Lots of The Rock throwing an eyebrow up here and there.
And I'm not saying there wasn't any like funny, charming stuff in scary movies before Scream, but Scream really, like, it really took that, you know, and just like changed the whole genre as far as I can see.
Yeah, it definitely was a turn.
There's a new one of those before the end of the year, or is it next year? Can't remember. It's brand new Scream.
I saw a teaser for it. It's so hard to tell right now what way movies are coming out. Oddly, I'll hear about something and then I'll hear nothing for almost a year.
It's weird, right? I don't like
nothing.
Do that.
Yes, we have a fifth Scream movie coming in 2022.
It's a reboot though, right? Or a retail? It's kind of like reconnecting anyway.
Yeah, a rebooty.
Do they have Neve Campbell and Courtney Cox? Formerly Arquette.
They do have Courtney Cox in it, but they recreate that first scene. From the Neve Campbell scene from the very first.
That wasn't Neve Campbell.
That was Neve Campbell. You're right. I'm thinking of the scary movie thing that I saw that was all over the place. Anyway,
What was the one? Who was that, though? Why can't I think of who that was? Oh, Tom Green's ex-wife.
Was it Drew Barrymore?
Yeah. Drew Barrymore.
Yeah, right. That's the beginning, yeah.
I feel kind of bad saying that she's Tom Green's ex-wife because there's no other... There's no other way
to pick her.
If you had to pick the,
it totally is. Yeah, exactly.
It should be the other way.
He was just
like describing Courtney Cox as, you know, David Arquette's ex-wife.
Yeah.
Or like saying Asia Argento's husband killed himself.
Oh, did that? Wait, what?
Sorry, that was too somber.
That was very somber. These reboots are fine. I don't mind. I still haven't seen it because I figure we're going to do it, but that, or did we do? We didn't do that Freddy Krueger new one with with the Bad News Bears kid that's now Freddy Krueger. Haley Joel Jr.
Enigma. Or not Enigma. What's his name? Rorschach.
Rorschach.
I would be excited about that.
No, Earl Hale Lady?
Jack Earl Haley.
Dick Earl Haley.
We're recording this on a Wednesday night.
Yeah,
not
we
normal
are.
Normal for us.
But I don't think we saw that, right? We haven't done that.
I've seen it, but I don't think it was with you guys. No,
okay. No, we have not seen
it. I wouldn't mind sometime getting to that just because... I don't know. I held off because it was, while we were doing Film Sack, and I thought, well, that's going to come up again.
Yeah.
So at some point.
Yeah, I'd see it again. I think it fits what I,
absolutely.
What little I remember of it, I think would be good for this.
Now, I haven't done some scrutiny in a while. I'm going to do one.
Scrutiny.
This is in the trivia. It says Ken Kurzinger had to undergo some dental work during filming. He's the dude what played Jason. But it would have taken too much time to remove his makeup and costume to reapply them. When he arrived at the dentist's office, still dressed as Jason without the hockey mask, people were afraid he was an escaped psychopath and almost called the police. Whatever.
That I call bullshit.
I call him bullshit.
Yeah,
that
sounds like horseshit to me.
Ken, if you ever seen interviews with the guy, he is just super friendly, super nice, just a nice kind of guy.
Yeah. I'm sure he is. The original Jason guy was sad that no one asked him to be in it, according to
the original or the one who played the most, Kane Hodder.
The one that played him the most, the Kane guy, yeah.
Yeah, Kane Hodder.
Kane Hodder.
We should really, that'd be good. What if there was Freddy versus Jason versus Hatchet?
Right. I mean, how much Kane Hodder have we seen in the last couple of months? And the Jason movie, you'd think would be the...
the place.
This guy's 3 inches taller than him, though, so I guess, I don't know, maybe height one.
Yeah, I was curious about that because I was meant to look it up. Like, is Robert Englund a little bit taller, and they needed somebody just a little bit taller?
Maybe. I mean, the guy they used is 6'3". I'm 6'3".
Yeah.
Like, it's not that tall, but I guess Freddie. In Hollywood, height is weird, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone's short in Hollywood. And according to my wife, they all have bobbleheads, but that's a different issue.
But did you guys spot the trivia that said Peter Jackson was asked to direct?
Oh, yeah, I did.
God, no, I didn't see that.
Maybe. I mean, this is 04. He'd done a lot of horror movies. Do you guys ever see Dead Alive? Not Dead Alive. The one with the lawnmower on the old woman's face. I don't remember the name of that movie. We should do it one day.
Okay.
But early Peter Jackson was all schlock gore horror. Mm-hmm. And I could see him getting picked, but that's probably best. I mean,
Frighteners.
Frighteners, yeah, we did that.
The Frighteners, right.
There's some older stuff than that, even though, like his real low budget, like, when he was in Nobody kind of stuff. But then Lord of the Rings had happened by 04. He's not going to do this. Like, why would he do this?
Yeah.
He's living on that Lord of the Rings money now. He doesn't need that.
Yeah. We talked about
this time. In 2003, does he?
Well,
he's in the middle of the Lord of the Rings.
Holiday of 01 is when the first one came out.
Yeah, very next year. 02, 03. So, of course, like, why would you even ask him? He's like, he's in the middle of a massive movie series.
Yeah.
If this whole Lord of the Rings thing doesn't work out, you want to come do a Jason movie?
Yeah, he was already planning King Kong, which was what, 06? Or something. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay, then maybe he wasn't too good for it. Anyway,
I like that King Kong movie. I know it's not the popular opinion, but I like it.
I like it too. I'm just giving you a hard time. I liked it too. I'll tell you who was. They never could find a good spot for Kelly Rowland, who played Kia. Mm-hmm. She could have been a heroine in this movie, but they kept making her.
Yeah, she was
pushing the story along. I mean, she was constantly like pushing everything. Was very
Go up and push, talk to bully Jason.
Freddy. Yeah,
Freddy. Yeah, dude, when she had her nostrils ripped off, her nose ripped off, that was gnarly. Yes, that was.
That was a pretty good scene. I liked that because that scene right there was a good throwback to the old. If you're paying attention, Nightmare on Elm Street movies. You could tell they were in a nightmare because of things that were going on in the background.
Yeah.
And scene, if you looked at the nurse, it was like there's a sign in front of the nurse that said the nurse can't help you or something like that.
Right. Yes.
So, and I was like, oh, nightmare. Cool. And
things are just kind of like off. The lighting's just off.
Yeah.
I like that too. Kelly Rowland, isn't she like a singer lady now?
She is a singer. She is a singer and actress as well. And like I said, she was a really strong performer in this movie, but they just made her like, they made her aggressive, but in a mean way. Hmm. And she never was.
I just figured out where I saw her
for a couple of minutes.
She's Gladys Knight in that American Soul TV show. I forgot.
Yeah, that's right.
She was a member of Destiny's Child for a while as well.
What?
I didn't know that.
Okay. Wild. She was one of the three. She, good luck if you can rename the other one that's not Beyonce.
Hey, Brian or Dunaway, you'll love this. She was in a Ludacris video for the song "Representing."
Yes, yeah. Luda. Yes, baby. Yeah,
Luda. You're a big Luda fan.
Luda.
Yeah, I am. Now, Monica Keena, who is Lori in this film, is such a weird character. Fine. First of all, it was 2003, and apparently we were still into that wet look because she wore the wet look for like a good half of the film. It made me laugh. Yeah. But also, I love the way they always had her in the background. She was always just – she was like photobombing every scene.
Like even in the school, which is a high school, I was shocked when it was a high school.
Yeah.
When they went to school and I was like, wait, these aren't college students?
Yeah. Right.
What?
Yeah.
She was born in 79, so she would have been
25.
20, yeah, right? just 20, early 20s when they filmed
it. It was a bunch of 20-somethings in a high school.
And she already visited the plastic surgeon.
Oh, yeah.
The augmentation doctor.
Couple times.
Yeah, it was, this movie was odd because this must have been the height of really extreme young plastic surgery. I don't know. I can't say that. All I say is there's a lot going on.
Older women getting plastic surgery and playing teenagers in high school.
There you go.
I don't know if it was the height. It was definitely a time. Like the girl at the beginning who got killed first.
Yeah.
Gib. Gib.
She,
her
boobs are practically on her shoulder, not to be shaming or anything, but they were high.
The one the one on the dock before.
Yeah, the dock girl.
Oh, okay. Oh, the one that was in Jason's dream.
Yeah. Not Paula Shaw, who is played Mrs. Voorhees.
I don't know if they who's that.
I don't think they gave her a character name, did they?
Yeah, that's pretty low. She was computer generated. I don't know.
She was CGI. Yes. Yeah.
But I was immediately oh, all right, we're going. We got boobs right away. Let's go with the boobs.
Right.
Yep. Not holding back. I mean, to the movie's credit, they could have been tempted, I would suppose, when they're bringing Freddie and Jason together to try to make it more mainstream and go for like a PG-13 rating. This movie does not do that. It does not hold back. Some of the stuff they say is just kind of rancid and awful.
Yeah.
The blood is, gross. Lots of swears, boobs.
Visceral.
Yeah. In some ways, it just felt like a true, this feels like a true slasher horror movie from a bygone era, and they really stuck it out, and I think I liked it. I think I liked that they did that.
I'd like to see the original script, because I would like to see if they had more Linderman and Kia doing stuff together, because they actually because we really didn't have the Will and Lori story where they were broke up from each other. I mean, that love story really wasn't working.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, the original release confused audiences because they thought that Jason Ritter's character was intended to become the next Jason Voorhees.
Okay.
Oh,
weird. Okay.
Interesting.
Apparently, in the deleted scenes, you can see it, and that's and according to this, in Wikipedia, it says that's why they decided to reshoot the ending.
I think I remember something like that. I do remember some dialogue about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, I think this is hilarious, this piece of trivia. Betsy Palmer, who played Jason's mother in the original Friday the 13th in 1980, was asked to reprise her role for Mrs. Voorhees. She turned it down because she felt the role was, quote, too small for me.
Interesting. I thought they said,
it's definitely not her.
I'd seen some documentary stuff on it too, and they said that she wanted too much money. And maybe I guess that's the same way.
That's the same way of putting it.
Saying it the same way.
Meanwhile, I'm gonna go play Postal Employee 5 on an episode of Full House.
Yeah, exactly.
Unfortunately, she passed away shortly thereafter.
Well, 2015. That's not too. That's.
Oh, really? Years. I thought they said it was even closer than that. Maybe.
She was 88. She lived a long time.
Mysterious circumstances. It was in her sleep.
Oh, and it was
maybe she told them she died. Maybe they were.
Yeah, and it was on the 13th of. It was a Friday. But anyway,
Friday the 13th, only the first two were on the Friday. It was the first two or three that were actually on Friday the 13th. After that, it was Saturday the 14th, and it was like weekdays.
When they would release them?
There was a parody film called Saturday the 14th. Yeah, now that you say that.
and there? It is horrific. It is like horrific, and that no one kept a good quality copy of it. I've tried to watch it even on good services,
yeah,
and it looks like videotape that was never kept up with. It's just bad. Ugh.
Is this lady, I'm trying to see if she's one of our Trek connections. She's not, but she was nope. she was on TJ Hooker with Shatner. So there's that. But yeah, she felt this was too big. And then I'm looking at her career around 04.
Yeah.
It was plenty big for you, lady. You could have done just
yeah.
anyway.
Her whatever. Agent did a bad thing and said, hold out for more money. Yeah. Tell him you don't thing. Need this.
Yeah. I also like this bit of trivia, and I don't know if it's true, but the lake, Camp Crystal Lake, was also being used to film the final scenes for X-Men 2 United.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Same year.
That's
and they were all
Bunsen Lake. Bunsen Lake up northeast of Vancouver. I used to live a few minutes drive from Bunsen Lake, and it's really pretty, nice area, and no one goes there. So, like, of course, they filmed like Lake Placid there.
Yeah.
They a bunch of movies,
probably everything. Yeah, there. But what's great is during this time it's being filmed, all the casts from Freddy versus Jason and X-Men 2, X-Men United are all staying in the same hotel. I think that's great.
Good. Yeah. I can pretty much guarantee that Hugh Jackman and Famke Janssen aren't talking to these kids.
No.
Yeah.
They're not all hanging at the free breakfast buffet in the morning together.
No, but Hugh Jackman's a nice guy. I'll bet he'd be happy to just sit and chill with some, you know, kid actors. Maybe. He'd be all right. Famke Janssen's a little too uppity for it. But I'll bet, I want to know if like he got out his claws and went in the hallway and then ran into Freddy with his claw and then...
Well, see, now that would have been pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. Two claw, three claws.
Where's that? I want Wolverine versus Freddy for the next movie.
Oh, yeah. That would be fun. Mm-hmm.
It's better than Origins. Anyway.
Oh, he'd be so. Wolverine would be so pissed.
Origins was so freaking bad. That is a bad.
Oh, come on, but they so not that bad.
They so perfectly capped the whole thing with Logan that I just can't stand the. I can't stand the thought of like. More potentially bad Wolverine, you know.
Well, I'm fine with new Wolverine. Just it's time for a new, you know. MCU.
We're gonna be, it's gonna be a new actor. Yeah.
If MCU gets full Wolverine going, do they go? Okay, yeah, but here's a question for you: do they go Logan or do they do X-23 or something like that? What do you think?
They go X-23. I think they're already setting it up for the new Hawkeye woman, the X-23. If they want to bring her in,
what's the Hawkeye Bishop? Something Bishop.
Yeah, Kate Bishop.
Kate Bishop.
Yeah. The Scarlet Witch and Vision's kids. I mean, there's so much potential for them to do a young Avengers / young Marvel.
Do they ever explain the Vision's man penis? Somehow it made kids? Do they ever explain that? How'd that work?
Who Vision's man penis?
Yeah, Vision's man penis.
It was really his cyborg penis or his... Listen, so the energy stone can do anything.
Okay,
yeah,
that's also an alternate reality.
That's the main thing. He can reduce his powers basically if he needs to, right?
Can he become so he can become more human like or something? Is that
like,
the idea?
I always feel like this discussion needs to be about Superman because Superman, in order to do anything like that, Superman has to leave this part of the solar system, right?
Oh,
he needs to get
strength,
far away from the sun.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like over in the Marvel area, we just have this, like, we have real vagaries around how the human body works.
Well, I don't even mean, like, the super strength. I just mean since Vision's an android, I just don't know
but
how
he's,
you
he's
thought.
He's not an android. He's a creation of the stone and Tony Stark's crazy computer code.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I guess so. And it's comics.
And
so
all the DNA is his computer code. I feel like I'm quoting Age of Ultron. But I just like...
Wait. You're saying because it's part stone and part computer code, it now makes sense how he can make babies with his man penis.
Yes, that's what because you're telling DNA me? Is just code.
All right.
Because we can't explain it.
No, I'm fine with that. When you can't explain it, join it. That's what the old phrase says. Hey, Rob Zombie almost made this movie. Turned it down because he was working on that 1,000 corpses we never got to see.
Oh, I was hoping he was going to say the witches
Lords of Salem.
Lords of Salem. Yeah. That would have been been the perfect topper to our Halloween.
Yeah, he probably would have done fine here. He did his Halloween movies. Oh, okay, it's not bad.
What is something really hard for you to?
It's not. I remember thinking
that.
The acting is really bad, and I remember thinking, does Rob Zombie not know how to, you know, direct actors at all? That's how that movie felt. But I like, you know, his take on Michael Richards.
Now we've got two of those, by the way. We've got the Kramer and the stuff that he said and did. And then we've got the former Jeopardy host.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Michael Richards. Yeah. And he's a turd. So,
yep.
Yeah. I don't know. As far as I'm concerned, Kramer's made up.
He's redeemed himself. It's been long enough that we can.
It's been long enough. And he poked at it so hard on that that episode of Curb. I was laughing my head off. They were making big fun of that. And it was great.
Do you feel like he apologized?
Oh, he definitely apologized over and over.
Okay.
He apologized on Letterman while Jerry Seinfeld was a guest,
Jerry was on there. Yeah, he did. It was very awkward and very weird, the whole thing. And he's also, he did it again on Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. Then I heard him on a couple of interviews. Like, I think he's done as much as you can do in that life.
Because that's the thing. Like, I think you just need to honestly apologize, like, and directly apologize. Like, have you guys seen Louis C.K. the last few years?
No, I have kind of burned out on him.
He keeps doing bits about his mistake or mistakes, right?
Yeah.
But he doesn't just like say, "Wow, that was terrible. I'm sorry. I will never do that again. I've never done anything like that. You know, I'm sorry." He won't just say, "I'm freaking sorry."
Okay, if you had said 10 years ago, how hard is it to say "I'm sorry" and then, you know, and we move on? Mm-hmm. I would go, "Oh, that's easy."
Yeah.
But now, God, you don't, oh my God, it's almost impossible to formulate a sorry, even if it's pre-written.
Without, that sounds sincere that and believable.
Because you have to dissect it so much. You have to go, okay, if you say this, that's just it. You can't be genuine. You can't be true to yourself because you're going to get it.
Well, that's what they need to do, is not have their publicist write their apologies for them to read. They need to just do it off the cuff. I think for the most part, we'll be able to tell when Matt Lauer is apologizing off the cuff and saying, "God, that button I had on my desk that would lock the door. That was like, such a dickish thing.
Here's a sexy one that'll make everybody mad. So I don't think anybody told Roseanne what to say with her sorry, but boy, people didn't care for her genuineness and whether she was true or not. I'm not here to say. I don't give a crap. I don't care about Roseanne. Don't care one way or the other. I'm just saying she seemed pretty genuine about what she said. Was she honest? I don't know.
Wasn't
half of her sorry like bitching about people being too sensitive these days.
But that was the thing. It was happening so fast. I remember her first apology seemed genuine. And then it was like everybody just like, rah, 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 and they just chewed her up. And she should have given some space. She should have waited a minute. She went ahead and apologized right away. And then she got ate up. And then she came back with, you know, backpedaling on the apology. It gets complicated.
People have no forgiveness right now. There's no forgiveness in society.
Oh, absolutely.
There have been recent apologies from celebrities that work just fine. Good example,
like John Cena.
This was all right.
But last year, do you remember when Snoop Dogg apologized to Gayle King?
No,
at all.
I don't remember that.
Apologies that can make it because I don't even see anything about him. So that's good.
He just tore Gayle King in half,
right?
Because of something she said about Kobe Bryant. And then he came back with an apology because it was terrible what he said to her.
Yeah.
And like his apology was cool. Yeah. Like he said he was sorry.
Yeah.
You know, he said he wouldn't have done it. He would like to have used different words and so on. It was just like, okay, we're good. Let's go on.
Yeah.
And like, so I'm saying it's still possible.
It is possible.
The real question is, does society have any forgiveness in its soul? And I don't think it has much. That's the problem.
The problem now is that we glorify any conflict, and so whenever the apology comes out, we mostly ignore the 99% that go, "All right," and we look at the one person on Twitter who's screaming, and we go, "See, the apology didn't work. See how this person's freaking the freak out."
Yeah. I just realized that Brian Dunaway's peak. A thing that's on Discord is turned on, because so we didn't get to hear you scream. It cut your screen.
I know, it was great. It really like completely clipped it out. Yeah. It,
sweet.
You hear just like a little, and then it was gone. Yeah. And then perfect. You were back. Yeah.
But so, trust me, it was a scream.
Oh, I believe you.
But,
I believe
you. Yeah. Believe you. But that's as far as I'm going to say about any of that.
It's all
stuff.
Dumb. Before nobody forgives anybody. I hate it. Freaking the world can all take a giant bite of a piece of poo, a fresh one if they want.
I just want everybody to be happy. I've always been like that. I'm just like, oh, God, I just want everybody to be happy. It's like, oh, I don't care. Just everybody stop fighting. I want peace.
Can't we all just get along?
Yeah. Pretty much. That's Brian.
Now, I'm going to do a gross moment thing, but I'm going to ask you guys. If you're going to say, oh, Billy Idol, macking on the girl, terrible, awful, very gross. If you're going to say rubbing naked butt on the window, yeah, pretty gross. But what really grossed me out?
Gross.
Dad kissing the girl.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, although they were a lot closer in age than they played on screen.
Oh, well, that's hilarious.
That's true. Technically, she's in her 20s and he's like 50, but man. That just really rubbed my cheese wrong. I did not like that one bit.
Yeah.
Oof. Blech. So that kind of grossed me out. None of the gore did. The gore was fine. It was all
The gore was fine. Yeah. It was all
Karo syrup.
Standard stuff.
Good looking blood though for all the old horror movies. It was too bright. It was too raspberry jam.
And according to the trivia, 300 gallons were used.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Our director did say he wanted to put some blood in there, so I guess he went through with his promises.
Well, he wanted some blood. Why not?
What'd you guys think about the old weirdest character in the whole movie? Deputy Scott Stubbs, who seemed to serve zero purpose, played by Lachlan Monroe, who's been in,
that was the thing. He served the purpose of, like, I know that guy from stuff. What is that guy in?
Yep.
Yeah. He served the purpose of me getting my iPad out, pulling up IMDb to see what else I remember.
Well, for a hot second,
from Riverdale.
For a hot second, he looked just like Haley Joel Osment old. And I went, wait a minute, this can't be right, because this is 03-04. Haley Joel Osment was still a kid.
Haley Joel Osment never goes anywhere without his big mustache and beard.
That's true. These days.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. He's a bobblehead also, my wife would say. Everybody in Hollywood's a bobblehead. They're all short and have bobbleheads.
Well, Haley Joel Osment's head kept growing and his face stayed the same.
Yeah. I really enjoyed Zach Ward's appearance in this film.
I don't remember who
in pictures
he.
Yeah,
he was pictures. He was the brother. He was the brother. He kept
right. Who had died in a previous
movie? Yeah.
Right. Gotcha. Oh yeah. And was he from the previous thing? Or was he?
Previously chronologically, he was from the previous.
But what do I really know him from?
Oh my God, he's been in so
really
many things.
Yeah. This bugged me. At first, I thought it was
Transformers he was in, Resident Evil Apocalypse.
I liked him really well as Titus's brother in the TV series Titus. Let me refresh.
That's it. It's Titus.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Really?
Yes. Nice. Yeah. I used to watch Titus like crazy, and that's that guy from Titus. Wait, but isn't he also the Chris? That's what it is. Isn't he the Christmas Story kid that...
Whatever. No, I'm trying to remember. I can't remember how he looks like when he's young.
Farkas? Mm-hmm. Is Scott Farkas?
Scott Farkas.
Is he Scott? He might be.
Yeah.
That's who it is.
That's exactly who it is.
Oh, my Lord. Is it? I can't find it, though.
It's the first thing he ever did.
Okay, two things happened to me.
And he followed it by playing Moody Spurgeon on Anne of Green Gables.
Great names.
Just that name alone feels like it should warrant a PG-13.
Actually, his names for a while are great. Listen to this. Scott Farkas, Moody Spurgeon, Moody Spurgeon again, Seth Sandruff, Greg Mazie, Daniel, and Digger!
Topper and Hummer. A few years later.
Yeah. Okay. That's the whole thing that I know him from. And I remember that Titus thing because on Titus, everybody was like, that's the kid from Christmas Story. But I didn't know it was Scott Farkas. I thought it was my name. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
It'll blow your mind.
Yeah. That's him.
I don't think he was actually in any of the real Friday the 13th movies. I think he was in the TV series.
I'm looking and not seeing. Yeah,
he was in the series. Remember the series?
TV series, yep. That's back in like 99.
I remember the existence of the series.
Right.
Sliders. Let's see.
You didn't like the series? I was going to say you didn't like it.
I don't remember seeing
it. Started saying.
I don't think
I was about to say I just hate him. Like,
why do you hate him?
Because he's got that big bushy, like, wig. It looks like a wig. It's not a wig, but in A Christmas Story, it looks like a wig. And and it's just like in his he's got braces and he's like a jerk. He's a terrible person. And I can never forgive you. Like, you got to pay attention to how you start a career in film. Cause like if the thing I ever see you in first is as a like 14-year-old asshole, I just hate you forever.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's great.
Randy's got a long memory.
It wasn't his hair. It was like a little,
yeah, he had Daniel Boone's Coons.
Daniel Boone cap. Yeah.
I'm not remembering very, very well.
You'll get a chance to see him soon.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Do you have TNT? Well, get ready.
No, I'm saying it's on our list for film sack.
Oh, that's right. We're doing a film story. We're doing Christmas stories. There's no film story to be done. Here he is. This is the hat you're talking about, Randy. I'll put it in Discord.
Okay.
There it is. Yeah.
Yes.
I also thought it was hair, so don't feel bad. I thought that was hair. I guess it's not. It's a hat, right? Is it a hat? Did we ever see him take it off?
Here he is all grown up.
Yeah.
Here he is all grown up.
Wearing the same hat. That is hilarious. Yep.
Shut up.
I love it.
Really?
I love it. Own it. Yeah, own really who you are.
Yeah, you may as well own it. I thought he was Danny Bonaducci for a hot second a minute ago.
Yeah, yesterday. I could see that.
Yeah.
Same thing. Same exact thing. Good call out.
Yeah.
That is another person that I cannot ever appreciate for their entire career.
I guess. he's in a Christmas holiday or a what's the freaking my wife loves the what's it called? The Christmas holiday, the holiday Christmas movies, the Hallmark Christmas movies in one of those.
I wasn't even sure where you were going. I
couldn't get it.
Oh,
out.
I thought you were going to say a specific one. So he's in a lot of them.
He's just in one that I can see. And who knows if it's any good, but I mean, Katie Sackhoff's in a new one. I kind of want to see it.
So did you guys watch Dawson's Creek back in the day?
No.
Okay.
That was for losers.
I guess that's why nobody say anything about Monica.
By the way, okay, I just want to acknowledge that a minute ago, I basically said that Danny Bonaducci was the bad guy of the Partridge Family.
Yeah.
And I'm sticking with that.
Yeah, he was.
He was the villain of the Partridge Family.
Yeah. Did they ever get the villain? Did we ever get closure on taking him out or anything? Because then that's, what's the point of having a villain if you don't take him out?
Yeah. I'm going to quit putting pictures of Zach Ward in there.
Thank you.
It's a great one of him holding a gun in his mouth like a dog would carry it.
Yeah. Why? What? I don't even want to know what that's from.
From a movie called Postal, which is by UV Bull and is
based on the video
described as a live action South Park.
Yeah. It's based on the video game Postal. That's all those Uwe Boll.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Uwe Boll used to do nothing but video game licenses, and that was. It's a dumb old game. Postal was dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Postal was trying to be more edgy than like GTA, I guess. And I don't know.
Okay.
It was shit. It was a bad game. Even worse movie.
You are not allowed to look it up. What is Uwe Boll doing currently?
Oh, I want to know.
Yeah, I want you to guess.
My guess is making a movie.
Untitled Uwe Boll Project is going to be my guess.
That's a good guess. That's a really good guess.
Yeah. Director, you're saying? Like directing something?
Yeah, he is apparently making a German movie, a German documentary about a QAnon mass murderer.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow.
Okay.
Oh, there's a lot to process in that.
I'm not going
to
watch that, but okay, cool.
Okay.
Your elevator pitch succeeded, but I'm going to need another ride to figure out what you just said.
He's got a movie called Rampage, President Down, but I don't think that's connected to the Rock Rampage thing.
Nope. Or the White House Down.
Yeah, the White House Down.
Or anything that's good or reasonably fun to watch. He's a weird dude. That guy weirds me out in every way. Alone in the Dark, A Name of the King, Blood Rain, all these.
I love how he can't get any famous people to work for him.
Well, he did for a while. He had Jason Statham and I don't know.
Yeah, but like in his latest stuff, Uwe Boll has he has stars that don't have pictures on IMDb. Like that's the kind of people.
Yeah, that's what he talks about all the time. He talks about his whole philosophy is that it shouldn't cost so much to make movies, and actors want money.
Yeah, it turns out they need cash to get it done. Yeah. I don't know how he got anything.
He don't like anyone.
Yeah.
Hey, going back to this movie and Zach Ward, would he be our chick in the bucket?
What
Officer
happened?
Stubbs.
Oh,
since he's... well, we see his right.
He get electrified though, right?
We see him die.
We do see him die. That's right.
But we don't. But do we really see him die? I mean, some of these deaths kind of like, you're like, he might have survived that. I don't know.
I mean, what's his name? Lachlan Monroe. Hold on.
I mean, Trey was definitely dead. Trey got stabbed. We saw him get stabbed. We saw him mm-hmm. get folded up in the bed. He's dead. There's no question about
everybody,
it.
Everybody, like everybody who dies, you're shown a death. You're not mm-hmm. shown a mystery.
Mark Davis, no, I don't agree. He was behind a window, got his face yeah. marked up,
wake
went down
me
the
up.
Ground. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anything could have happened. He was already awake, so I don't know. It could have anything could happen.
Did anything in this movie make you guys laugh? Because the only thing that made me laugh was when she flicked the cigarette out the window and hit Jason in the face. I thought that was funny.
That was pretty good.
Yes.
It's about the only time I actually like guffaw laugh.
Yeah. I laughed a couple of times in this movie. I'm trying to think where it was at. It was mostly like stupid stuff like first of all, I love the Cotton Eye Joe version of that rave they had going on. I don't know what that yeah. was.
Yeah. That park was all the cars in a circle. Bring
that was yeah. amazing. Yeah. That music. Yeah. And then there was like a scarecrow. And somebody right. went through all the effort of painting a scarecrow standee yeah. and painting free beer on it.
Right.
And I just
right.
thought that made me laugh.
That's how you get people and free beer, man. Free beer.
Yeah. And then the stoners. Almost all the stoners were brilliant. I loved Jay from Jay and Silent Bob in the in the hall with yeah. the with the needles when he was possessed by Freddy.
Yeah. I had this written down. I thought the
Bill, wasn't it Bill?
I thought the thing that Gross got out the most was gonna be the dude when they pinned down Mark at that rave mm-hmm. and they force feed him beer. The first thing the fat dude does is put it in his mouth to get to get the beer siphoned, and then he puts it in the guy's mouth, which it's not a prop. That's, it wasn't cut. It was,
that's real. Kissing. They kissed.
Yeah, they kissed.
They kissed. Yeah,
they kissed, but it's just not as bad as the old guy kissing the young girl.
And by the way, Scott, I looked it up. The actors were 28 years apart.
Oh, geez. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a difference there.
That was a banner day for him, though.
Yeah. Was it?
So that's like early 50s kissing mid-20s.
Yeah, that's like my daughter. It's me, my age, my daughter, her age. That's why it blew.
Okay, why did you say that? Scott?
That's my point. Why'd you think it grossed me out?
Why did you make it real for us?
Right, exactly. Yeah,
exactly. But that's my point.
It was funny and gross, and then you made it so bad.
At least the two actors aren't related in the movie.
Yeah, but still, that's what at the time, I was like, that's the difference. Freaking gross. And it's this dad and daughter. Blah, blah. So it really, it hit home.
It was Freddie.
What's the matter, Gary Chalk's performance as Sheriff Williams? He was pretty.
Oh my God, we have an angry sheriff. We haven't had an angry sheriff in a while.
Yeah,
with a cigar in his hand. Yeah,
what's he doing these days?
Give me a trope alert.
He's English. He's from England. Really?
Yeah, he's Optimus Primal from 1996 to 1999.
What?
Beast Wars.
I love Beast Wars. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. We need to have a Beast Wars
got
connection.
A shock.
Yeah. That's very. Oh, he did tons of stuff. Voltron Force. That's some recent stuff, too. He's a busy voice guy.
He's a busy guy.
He still is.
So the trope for him is called Da Chief.
Da Chief
on TV Tropes is the trope.
Yeah.
And it's just got, it lists everything. Like everything that ever had cops has an angry chief.
Yeah. I tell you one thing I did enjoy in this movie that I was disappointed that they just kind of just glossed over it. This cabin in the woods, keeping, this technology and keeping all these people in comas to keep Freddy away. And they just kind of, because the first thing I thought when I saw it, I was like, oh, they're going to the asylum. They're going to break some people out. And I'm like, why in the world do you need all of that, high-tech equipment there? Why do you need all these mainframes and security guards and everything for this place? And then a couple minutes later, they explain why. Because they got people on ice, people in comas, experimental drugs,
but were those people supposed to be from previous films? I couldn't figure that out. Was that supposed to be like, these ones that can't stop dreaming?
They were supposed to be previous survivors. Victims.
Okay.
Right, exactly. Okay. Yeah, near victims of Freddy that survived, and that's the way they...
But they weren't going to try to say, and this one was from way back?
No.
Okay.
No. They did not imply.
We never got Nancy. We did kind of get Nancy's house, kind of.
A little bit. Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Well, everybody, I don't know if you guys as clearly mark your street signs and numbers as you do on Elm Street, but them are some big old number signs.
Elm Street like, wants you to know.
Let me rephrase that. It's supposed to be Nancy's house. They just found a house that looked like it. The producers did. So it's not the actual house.
Well, we were just talking on TMS. Yeah. Did it sell? I knew it was up for.
Up for sale for $3
million. 3.7 or something. Yeah. That's a lot.
For a nightmare on Elm Street? No, thanks.
For that house.
For Nancy's house.
Yep. Come on, dude. You'd buy that, wouldn't you, Brian? You love
no. Horror. I might rent Johnny Depp's place across the street, but that's about as far as I'll go.
It's a little bit of ceiling rot. Yeah. A little bit of.
I'm looking at the listing.
You're killing me.
It's it's not like this is. I'm of the age where I look at house.
Yeah, listings. Yeah. A little Zillow. Zillow on speed dial or just speed link.
It looks really good. Like the house.
It looks way different. Really.
Well, yeah.
There was owned by a director last who directed something big. What was Hustlers? Oh, was that the thing?
Hustlers. Yes.
Yeah.
Right, the director of J-Lo's Hustlers.
Yeah.
A couple years ago.
And that was, that's the one, that's the people that bought it for 2 point, whatever was them. And now they're selling it for 3.7.
Boy, Hustlers is an unfortunately named movie. I think?
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
You'd think you'd stop and go, I don't want to even turn away one person who might mistake this for a dirty magazine, you know?
Well, but it's a movie about strippers. I mean, it's...
I don't know.
How about The Hustler with, what's his
name? Right? Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
The Hustlin'. How about that?
The Hustlin'? There's not one called The Hustlin', is there? Yeah, Paul Newman. Yeah.
Paul Newman.
Then they had the follow-up with Tom Cruise with the bobblehead.
Color of Money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The color of bobblehead Tom Cruise's money. I also laughed kind of hard at the tanks flying scene when he was shooting tanks at him, the air tanks.
Dude, that's my favorite thing in the whole movie.
It was my favorite thing. Jason's just walking towards him and they go right by him and he's just kind of
I like the idea that Freddy would think to do that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like what?
Yeah, that was great.
And I also liked the idea that somebody out in British Columbia next to a lake actually staged it somehow.
Yeah, but also F that scene because that thing that was swinging around was on some kind of perpetual machine that would never stop swinging.
Yeah.
My gosh, that isn't how that works. That thing just kept swinging. I'm like, okay, enough of that. What's with the magical swing thing? He's not in Dream World. He's just here. He's just chilling.
I was a little bit sick of the agenda of this film. Obviously,
what was the agenda? Hold on, I gotta hear.
Yeah, obviously, this whole thing was funded by the Truth anti-smoking campaign from 2003.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, why? What? Why? Why?
I don't know. It's because they just like really beat her up about smoking. I thought you quit.
Yeah, they did.
It's like
that.
I can't believe you smoking.
But is that about?
And then Smiles
about
came
when
in.
We were,
I smell
only
smoke.
Smoke when I drink.
Yeah, right. But that was about when we started really cutting down on that on TV and movies, right?
Yeah.
Late '90s.
Yeah.
Late '90s, I think.
Sure. Yeah. Well, O3. I think O3 probably landed in there.
I did, but I did really love Trey. In the brief moment that we got Trey.
Yeah.
Come on.
Just like he will not shut up about how she smells like cigarettes. It's just like, dude, this is the only thing he's thinking. We just had sex. No. I'm only thinking about your cigarette smell. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's nothing nastier, though. I kissed a girl who smoked a lot of cigarettes in high school, and I remember thinking, well, I don't want to do that anymore.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to do that anymore.
It's like sucking on a tailpipe. Right.
I kissed a girl and I disliked it.
Yeah. I kissed a girl and I hated it.
Breath tastes like Virginia Slims.
It's menthols. Come on, I did it for
menthols.
You.
I'll tell you what I did like. If you're trying to make me super anxious about the only pill you have left getting lost down a pipe, that's the way to do it. Because they had like this camera angle way at the bottom.
Great shot. Yeah.
That was awesome.
You know what? That's not me though. If I ever drop my last pill down the sink, all I do is I don't go digging for it. I just shoot birds at it. It's like fine.
Shoot birds at it.
Right. Yeah.
Where you stand there and flip off your sink for 10 minutes.
Yeah, man. Oh man. You don't know the amount of inanimate objects in my life that get the bird.
Yeah.
All it's like
I do that too. I admit I did that today because I had a hard drive that wouldn't spin right. That thing still gave me trouble, so I kept flipping it off.
It's getting the bird.
Didn't help when I flipped it off. Funny enough, it didn't do anything.
Really? Didn't solve it?
Weird. No. Okay. Weird, right? I know. thought that was really odd.
Also, just as effective as sticking your finger down the sinkhole, it's not going to do.
That's true. You're not going to get anywhere with that. Did you guys have a favorite death? Mine's the twisted neck guy. Anybody have one that you were like, oh, wow, that's
pretty good.
Cool.
Yeah. I mean, Taco. Taco Tuesday was pretty good.
Yeah,
that's got to go with Taco.
A lot of blood from Taco, though.
It sets the tone, you know?
Yeah, but how did all that blood come all the way under the door? That was that was weird.
Everybody's filled with blood bags and high pressure CO2 cartridges to make the blood shoot out like that.
I hate to say my favorite death was Linderman because it was such a, it was kind of lame how he died.
Linderman, tell me.
Was the one he said he wasn't a virgin if he paid for it. He was always hitting on Lori, but Kia kept, cockblocking. Anyway.
Then Jason's trying to kill Kia and Linderman is trying to distract him?
Mm-hmm.
No, it was before then. He was in the cabin still and Linderman was trying to attack and I think Jason just hit him and he punctured his lung on a sharp object or something.
Oh, the thing on the wall, a shelf racket.
Yeah, so he just kind of slowly bled out. I was like, that's cool.
He was good on Barry, by the way. I like that guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's good.
But I don't know. Also, seeing Pothead Curly Head, who was that guy?
Oh.
Yeah, he was the one that was forcing the beer. He was the siphoner. There we go. His name is the siphoner. Beer line guy.
What's his real name? Do you have a real name?
Anyway, when he was running, I was like, oh, he's going to get away. Nope. No, he got
the flaming sword through the heart. Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to give this movie the credit of saying my favorite death was Freddy's.
I can see that.
I really enjoyed the entire motif around Jason decapitating Freddy and then carrying his head off and he winks at you.
Oh my gosh.
It's a lot of fun.
I'm sorry. This can't be right. Okay, sorry. I was trying to find out who the raver kid was with all the lights on him. And it says there's a character in here called Frizzle, and then in parentheses, glowing raver. So I assume that's it.
That's got to be it. Yeah.
That's what I thought, but this guy was born in 42? This can't be
him. That's not the guy. That's what I thought, too. Somebody goofed up there. I don't know what that's supposed to be.
Yeah. We just saw him in Mask of Zorro. I don't know who that is.
Right. Glowing raver.
Yeah. That's what it says. You would think that would be it, but I don't see how it could be, not unless there's some CGI work going on.
Yeah. Also, this movie, I've been playing that Guardians game. It's killing me. This movie was really creepy with the Freddy kid connection. I hate that stuff, and it really gets me when there's a little kid, the one with her eyes gouged out and her.
He especially
likes little girl. That whole thing. Man.
I found Siphon Boy. His name is Chris Gothier. Shaq, apparently, I think.
Chris Gothier.
Shaq was his name. Here, I'll throw it in the old Discord. He's got one credit, and it's for playing this guy.
Yeah. Boop. You see how the sheriff looks like a boner if you squint? You guys see that in there?
Yes.
All right. I'm looking him up here. Let's see who we got here. Oh, yeah. He's his photo. It's from the movie.
That's him. That's it. That's the only thing he's ever been in. Okay. That's him.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, he's an a-hole. Your only credit in the history of filmmaking is that you took advantage of a girl who was unconscious?
No, you're thinking of the glowing raver. No, I'm talking about the guy who gets stabbed with a flaming sword.
That guy.
The beer cipher.
All right. The beer cipher. Never mind.
Siphoner.
The beer cipher.
Siphoner.
Cipher. Louis Cipher.
That's all right. I just learned about Scut Farkas, so what do I know?
I didn't realize uncredited Evangeline Lilly was in this.
I saw that too. Yeah. She's apparently standing around in the high school's the hallway scene.
Right. Student next to locker.
Let's see if we can find an image of this. I always like looking those up. Let's see. Evangeline Lilly.
Good luck.
Student. Yeah. Freddie. I don't think she'll have this in her in her photos.
No, but I bet I found it. Nice. Yep. You guys,
yes, it's just Google Foo.
Yeah. Y'all ready for this? Look at this. This is great. I mean, she looks the same. Weirdly, there she is.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. That's when that guy creepily sings,
One and two, Freddy's coming for
that,
you.
That was pretty impressive. That was pretty cool. I like that. And he kept walking towards him like, okay, that's kind of creepy.
No, he's supposed to be your Obi-Wan. He's supposed to be saying, no, you know why you dreamed that? It's because that's what the kids sing. But he does it in the worst way possible.
Yeah.
Well, there's a different version.
I mean, this movie doesn't get any credit at all for how it treated the like history and the way people would talk to each other. It was just dumb. Yeah. You would not that the singing of the song, like, stop trying so hard, movie. I know the song. I've heard the song. I don't need you to keep singing it at me.
No one's saying, oh, that's from this, isn't it?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Do you guys, I felt like Robert Englund was pretty spry for this stage of his career.
Yeah, for an old guy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He did all right. Like, he was pretty old when they made it. And he got around just fine.
Quickly doing the math here, he was 56.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's pretty impressive. I mean, that's not you know, ancient, but that's pretty old to be playing this. You know, I don't know. The makeup makes up for a lot of stuff, but he was in pretty good shape. Yeah,
and apparently his spit is an adhesive. Because when you've got photos you need to put in the album, you just lick the back of them and they stick like crazy.
Yeah, because I was trying to figure out, I was like, wait a minute, did he lick the front of the? Because I kind of looked away for a second. I was like, did he lick the front of the photo and then he also stuck it? Or I'm confused what just happened.
Right.
Because that's what I was trying to figure out too.
Is there a trailer there's a documentary about his life? I want to see that.
About England's life?
Yeah. Robert Englund.
There's a trailer.
We just talked about this did we? A couple weeks ago.
Oh, I missed that. I didn't realize that. What is it good? Have you seen this?
I don't know, but I mean, it was mentioned.
Oh.
I really, really like that we have now seen 8 Robert Englund movies.
Yeah,
right.
And like that, they're just all over the place. Like, I mean, yes, they are mostly Wishmaster and Galaxy of Terror, but like The Adventures of Ford Fairlane. That's nice.
Yeah.
It is nice. Do you think it's stupid that in my brain I heard Robert Englund very young, and so like in my head, I always think of him as an English actor.
That is weird.
That's awesome.
I say, Jack, I'm going to kill you in your sleep.
Exactly. Every time he talks in an interview, I'm like, wait a minute. I thought he was English. No, his last name is England, Brian. Oh, my God. Get it out of your head.
Yeah.
It's funny. He was the voice of Dormammu in the Marvel Superhero Squad online game.
Yeah. Hmm. He is also
Vulture in the Spectacular Spider-Man.
Oh, that's cool.
The Riddler in the Batman. The TV series called The Batman.
Yeah. The
Batman.
Yeah. Whichever one that was. But he does it, but still, I think he's still pretty recently done some stuff.
Doing a lot of that sort of thing. Yeah.
I like his professorial look to him right now. He looks kind of, I don't know, like a guy you could just sit next to in a fancy chair and hear a story about something.
He's come a long way since V.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's...
Let me tell you about the time I got to dry hump a topless woman leaning up against the cabin at Crystal Lake for a movie called Freddy vs. Jason.
That's right. What about the... And they showed the flashback.
Wave your arms like Weekend at Bernie's.
My favorite thing that Freddy ever did was when he got all huge and ate people with his giant mouth, and they showed that flashback.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
I guess
it was the best death. I forgot all about the...
The marionette
the
feet?
Worm. No, the worm.
Oh, the worm.
When he turned into the worm.
Oh, yeah.
And he blew smoke.
Yeah.
And the guy's, that was pretty good. He didn't die, though, did he?
He got possessed.
Was the worst CGI, though. Like, such lawnmower man level.
But it almost felt creepier.
Smoking caterpillar bullshit.
Right from the beginning of the movie, anytime there was anything CGI, just even a little, like, touch-up, I was appalled.
Yeah, it's bad.
I don't understand why this movie was so bad-looking in that
They should have been better. 2004, we were good at this. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of examples of great CGI around this era and before it even.
Yeah.
And I don't know what they did
wrong. They couldn't even get good green screening going on because it was like Laurie was backing into a wall and I'm like, she's in front of a green screen. Could you fix that?
Could you fix that, please?
Fix that a little bit.
Every time when they blew up all that, I guess I sent you guys that video. When they blew up the propane, I kept thinking of Hank Hill.
Yeah, I love it. That's a good one.
He'd be very sad. You blow up all that propane.
Did you post it on Twitter? Because I enjoyed it. You should share it with all the people.
I don't know. Who knows anymore? Everything's content. I don't know what I'm posting.
Content. Scott's streaming from the bathroom.
Are you y'all want clips or do you have anything else?
Clips.
We do clips or you want clips? You want clips?
I could go on for hours, but God, it's almost Halloween. We got to get on with this.
All right, let's
do this. I got to get some candy.
Yeah, yeah. All right, here's we'll start with this one. This is I don't know what it is. Something about a bitch. So here you go. Enjoy.
Being dead wasn't a problem. for being first up. Now that's a bitch.
Okay.
We were in love with that idea. That's a bitch. She's a bitch. Welcome right. to my something, bitch. Well,
he calls things bitches about 25 times in this film.
Yeah.
I think his voice is too good.
Really?
I just realized now that I hear it all alone, his voice is too good. It sounds he sounds too much like he's performing on the radio or something.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Well, he kind of is. They definitely modulate it. Here's the boy at the something about a boy at the lake.
I should have been watching them, not drinking, not meeting a boy at the lake.
Oh, that girl. She's a bad actress, but she had her boobs. She had her boobs out.
So I shouldn't have been meeting him.
I should have fastened one more button.
All right, we played this already. Let's not do that one. Let's do this one. She don't like him, I wrote.
I don't like him. You don't like anybody.
Yeah.
I don't like him either.
No, me neither. This movie liked to do this to us. Lots of that. Jumping out. And use music to freak everybody out, which is a normal thing you do in these things. That's fine. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Here's your smelly boyfriend or girlfriend.
Your hair smells like menthols anyway.
Yeah, get out of here.
Mm. Yeah. Smells like menthols. Jeez, lady.
Don't say that SOB name so loud.
Don't even say that son of a bitch's name out loud.
Well, that's the cop.
Yeah.
Or the sheriff. Now I can hear.
He waved a cigar at me when he said that.
I can hear Optimus Primal now. Hold on.
Don't even say that son of a bitch's name out loud.
I can hear it. Mm-hmm. Autobots, transform. All right. Hate this line.
His name is Freddy Krueger, and he loves children, especially little girls.
Ugh. Gosh dang it, movie. Ugh. I had to go there. I guess it makes me hate him more. That's good, right? That's what you want.
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. Right. Well, I mean, can we really blame Freddy for everything? I mean, he was... the son of
he's a product of his society,
right? Well, he was in
oh my
his
god,
his mom was in the insane asylum, and all the guys raped her, and so and he was the product of all those violent, insane people.
Yeah,
you know,
I guess. Can you blame the guy? Yes, the answer
yes, you
is
can.
Yes,
you yes, can. You can. The answer is yes, yes, you can.
Yes, you can always blame him. Yes, all right, here's I think this is some angry acting. Enjoy.
My best friend was just killed, Dad.
Oh, geez.
Dad, whatever. Dad,
you got the angry acting emphasis.
Yeah, the emphasis. That's intense. I wrote this is a dumb line, so enjoy.
1, 2, Freddy's coming for you. You know why they sing that? Because that's when he comes for you.
Okay.
Because
that reminds me of the guy that says, "This is a pine tree. We know it's a pine tree for because of what it is." Like that's right. So dumb.
Because it smells like pine.
Three, four, better lock the door. So that's when you're supposed to lock the door to keep him out.
This song is really to help you out. You really want to memorize it.
A lot of metaphors. I don't want you to miss anything.
I feel like I've said this on a previous episode of Film Sack when we talked about Freddy Krueger, but. Clearly locking the door doesn't do anything.
Yeah,
why is that in the song?
It's a dumb song. The song
it
is
rhymes.
Wrong. Yeah, the song has been proven wrong every time.
Isn't the song supposed to help you?
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's nothing else that rhymes with door that like implies staying awake or
You know, it's really hard to rhyme numbers. And make sure you get all of them in there too.
Yeah,
I know. Because I did my intro this
three,
week.
3, 4, more coffee you must pour.
Pour.
Sorry, my mic went mute. I don't know why. Here's
5, 6. Grab your crucifix again. Something that doesn't help
doesn't
you at
even,
all.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't do anything.
It doesn't even work against Freddy.
Right.
Yeah.
No, you should be 5, 6.
Pick up the sticks.
Get him out of the dream. Yeah.
He only kills the dicks.
Right. All right. Here's that horrible horror sound again. Another one. Are fun.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounded like the surprised gopher or whatever it was.
The surprised gopher. No, well,
I love that. That's the first meme I ever remember.
Yeah, it's an old one. All right, boyfriend in the corn.
Don't make me ask you twice, okay? No.
Okay, this was after he was killed, so he's like in taco form walking around the corn. I thought that was funny. I did laugh at that, even though I don't think I was supposed to, but I did.
You were supposed to laugh. I laughed.
Okay, good. Here's Brian Ibbett on a prom night. Now, I don't know about you guys, but, you know, it's usually an interaction with the girl. But this is you, Brian, talking to your friends, you know, and you feel a little cocky. You're trying to have a little power dynamic with your friends, show the girls who's what, you know, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So I don't really blame you for what you said here, but here's what you said.
Well, hey, Jethro, this is a rave, not a Halloween party. Why don't you go find yourself a pig to f***?
Yeah. Wow. That was the last line he ever read or acted.
Were you drunk, or, you know, what was your status?
I just really didn't like the people that we showed up with. You know, went out to dinner. They picked old Chicago. We ended up at the prom. It sucked. The whole thing sucked.
There you go. All right. Some more angry acting.
I don't want to sleep, Dad. I want to know why you've been lying to me.
We'll talk about it in the morning.
After I kiss you passionately like a real father.
This sums up movies like this.
You can't trust any of the adults.
Yep. Can't trust any of the adults.
Yeah. You can't.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. This one. This scene. I don't know if you guys listened very closely, but this, I can't get it out of my head. Enjoy.
We don't say his name out loud. Hey, enough from around here. I don't expect you to understand.
Did you hear the fart? Because I heard a fart.
Hey, thought I heard that.
I'm sure I heard a fart in there. I'm just sure of it. All right. Here's the acting. What? The acting. Oh, I mean like, the acting.
I pulled that out of my dream.
All right, how is that possible? Anything is possible now. God, you just don't get it.
Oof.
Gosh, I don't get it. Yeah.
Hope that's not Chris's blood.
Oh, Barry. Let's see. Let me handle this. Oh.
Let me handle this bitch.
That was like his 12th bitch. Bitch.
Oh, yeah, the voice. The voice is too good.
Let me handle this bitch.
I don't know. It's all right, I guess. Here's. What is this? I wrote killed?
Killed!
Oh, because he yelled killed.
Killed!
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to put some emphasis on this word. Yeah, here it comes.
What is this sound I wrote? What is going on?
She's acting because Freddy's coming at her with the things, butter knives.
Yeah, and he's but what's weird is he's dragging them across a metal pipe, so there should be like a the Foley work on that one completely threw me off.
It wasn't great. I can't believe they did this one. I
wrote dark. I have the hiccups.
Dark.
Whoops, hold on. Here's the racist moment. Enjoy.
Dark meat.
Okay,
Freddy. Oh, yeah. He repeats his line from the first one, how sweet fresh meat.
Oh, yeah. That's why. Like, okay, that's why it sort of sounded familiar.
It's a very bad callback.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It did not, and that was not holding up well for me. Thanks.
Nope.
Not at all. But now, checklist. It's the Film Sack Checklist. Cornfield glow stick party. Check. I wonder if Jason Ritter called them Aunt Chrissy and Aunt Janet. Check.
Well, okay.
The cop looked like an adult Haley Joel Osment. Check. Moving on to the soundtrack. Oh, no. We need to do connections. There's got to be at least one Star Trek connection.
Nope. But,
damn it.
We do have some shared credits way down the list, and I'm going to tell you about those because that's all I can do. Mm-hmm. So we have a sound designer named Harry Cohen, who did sound design for Star Trek Nemesis, a CG artist named Jeremy Stewart, who did lead animation for Star Trek Beyond, a sound re-recording mixer named John Taylor, who did sound re-recording mixing for Star Trek Beyond, a standby painter in this movie named Mark Tompkins was a scenic artist in Star Trek Beyond, and let's go for the Star Trek Beyond crew.
Okay.
It's assistant art director Milena Drovkovich in this movie did conceptual design for Star Trek Beyond.
Oh.
Well Beyond. I'm going to throw one more in there.
Okay.
The original script they didn't like, either of the two first drafts they got, so they brought in Brannon Braga and Ronald D. Moore to...
Yeah, I saw that.
To rewrite. And there were a lot of changes and things people came in after that, but there's still little Braga and Ronald D. Moore.
Oh, I would DNA. so want to I would I would line up to see a Ronald D. Moore horror film.
I would too.
Yeah. In this.
I wonder if he's ever done that. I don't think so. I mean, he's all about, you know, the only stuff I know of are Trek, obviously, BSG, that thing my wife likes with the Scottish lady and the breasts.
The breasts. Scottish lady and the breasts.
Yeah, that show always had boobs out. I can't think of the name of it. The time traveler Scottish thing.
Oh, right.
Outlander.
Outlander.
Outlander, yeah.
And then the newer thing on Apple TV Plus, the For All Mankind or whatever. Yeah, that's it.
Right.
I got to tell you, Scott, Outlander is scored by the same person who scored Battlestar Galactica.
Bear McCreary. I love Bear McCreary.
He's real, real good.
Yeah. He's awesome. Everything he's ever done, I like. Video game work, he's great.
Hey, could we have one more Star Trek connection? Yeah. Famke Janssen, who was just in the same area filming X-Men 2 at the time.
She was in the other room. Had she been here, all the boys would have gone after her and never left her alone because she
Exactly, yes.
Yeah,
again, this was filmed out in Coquitlam, B.C. There were probably Star Trek people everywhere.
That's true. Mm. If there's Star Trek being filmed, they're all up in British Columbia. That's how it works.
Good point.
Soundtrack, great. I'd give it a not bad, other than the dumb jump scare sound. I mean, it's, I don't know, whatever. It does its job, but it's fine. Mm-hmm. It was good.
Yeah, that's Graham Revell. We've heard Graham Revell scores in 10 movies now. Whoa. On FilmSack.
Give me a notable. What's a notable?
Where the score is memorable for me was The Saint. But that's, I think that music is incredible.
Yeah, the sound.
He also scored Child's Play 2, we saw last year.
Yeah.
We haven't heard him recently that I can see, but he scored Spawn, Hard Target, The Crow.
Is he white?
Yeah, that he's makes from him, New Zealand, I
that
think.
That makes him a graham cracker. All right, moving on. It's terrible.
I was wondering where we're going.
How sweet.
I'm not sure it was Graham worth
crackers.
It. I'm not sure it was worth it, but I'm glad we went there anyway. All right, let's get to this here Twitter post. This is where you guys sum the damn thing up in 280 characters or less. No pressure being the last October movie of 2021. Let's start this week with Randy.
Freddy versus Jason. It's a game of marry, screw, or kill. And as you know, it's totally common for teenagers to give you choices of three people who were famous on TV literally 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Now I'm going to keep talking. So in our case, that would be screw, marry, kill, Radar, Hawkeye, or Klinger. And I just want to say I'm definitely killing Radar.
I don't want to think about that. I don't even want to think about that.
How are you going to kill Radar? He's got those telepathic.
I'm just saying.
He can sense stuff.
In Mary Screw Kill, you end up having sex with two of the people because you screw one and you marry the other one, which is a sexual relationship.
Have
you ever been married?
Nice one. Let's move over to Dunaway.
Oh, Freddy versus Jason versus Laurie's 2003 The Wet Look. Stop it. # babe, don't make me ask you twice, okay?
Oh, man. Man, oh, man. All right, then finally Brian Ibbett.
Well, it's the last movie of Sacktober, so I had two that I couldn't decide between. They're both, if you put them together, they're still less than 288 characters. Freddy versus Jason, the most exciting battle since this movie versus Staying Awake.
Yeah.
Nice.
Love it.
Nice.
And then my second one. Freddy versus Jason. Why did you say that name?
Oh, so good. Very nice indeed.
Thank you.
All right. Well, on that note, it turns out there were alternate titles. This just handed me. One of them kind of got ruined because I didn't know it was already been done. But anyway, the first one was almost called Stabby McPokerson Goes to Slash Town. I just thought that was too on the nose.
It's a way more fun name.
Yeah. I agree. Or Saturday the 14th, but apparently that exists. That's a thing. I didn't know that. Yeah. It just seemed real clever at the time, but not now.
Oh.
Email from a listener. This is from Miles, and he sent an email into filmsack@gmail.com, and he says, "Hello, Johnson, Ibbett, Dunaway, and Jordan, attorneys at law. I wanted to let you know that Sneakers is now available on HBO Max. I emailed you a couple of years ago in response to another listener's question and recommended this movie. Not sure how long it will be streaming, but thought I would let you know. You guys are still the best podcast.
Are we
going to
watch that again?
I'm pretty sure we watched that one for FilmSack.
Which is why I used
early
this
on, right?
I'm pretty sure we did. Let's look it up right now.
That was an early one.
What?
I would say 3 years ago.
Really? I would say 8, maybe 10 years ago.
What movie?
Sneakers. I'm looking at
Hackers movie.
We haven't seen
Right, or maybe watched Hackers.
Yeah, we haven't.
Now, wait a minute. We watched Hackers.
We didn't watch
Sneakers, that bit.
Don't ever confuse Hackers with Sneakers. Sneakers is a great movie. Hackers is shit.
So I guess I must have watched it recently for a recommendal, because I definitely watched it within the last 3 years.
It's a great movie.
Okay.
Sneakers is like legit a great movie.
Yeah,
it really is.
Yeah, okay. I would watch it again.
So I stand corrected. Such we have not cast. Seen Sneakers.
We have not. Now, here's the important part. He says, you guys are the best podcast on the internet. Yours, Sackily. Miles, P.S.
Aww.
Cooties rat semen. What do you think that's about? What's that about? I don't know what that, why. I'm not kidding.
I'm sticking with it.
It's just right there at the end of his email. It says, cooties rat semen.
How does he know my Grindr password?
Your Grindr password, that's even better than what I was thinking. Cooties, rat semen to you there, Miles. We don't know what you mean by that.
Why not?
Yeah, that's a very odd
word
thing to
soup,
send me.
Baby.
Send us your drunken emails to filmsack@gmail.com. Whoever you are out there, we'd love to hear from you. And we're moving into a new era of films that are not Halloween based, because now we're back on schedule. So what are we watching, Randy? What's next?
Next week, we're going to watch Geostorm.
Gerard Butler in Geostorm.
Can I just play the iOS game instead?
No, because that's good. That game was good.
It was really good.
Yeah. Like a legit puzzle game with like cool graphics. And you could tell it was just them paying some developer to say, hey, that game you're almost done with, can we just put our name on it and we'll pay you a bunch of money?
It really was, yeah. Exactly.
It's really weird. It's a great game, though. But Geostorm, the less than great movie.
Gerard Butler's great. And can I just say how cool it is that we got to live during a time when both Gerard Butler and Russell Crowe are kicking it? Like, that's really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Put them together. And then you got something.
Then you got
anyone ever know somebody who drove a Geostorm?
Actually, we had a Geostorm.
I think. Yeah. Didn't you drive one, Brian? I think you did.
No, I had a GeoTracker.
Tracker.
Which is the sequel.
Yeah, Geostorm.
The Tracker was the Samurai equivalent.
It was the Samurai. Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, the Metro Geo Metro.
Yeah, Metro. Yeah.
Is this movie about an old car that has like 108 horsepower?
Yes.
It is, yeah.
Three cylinders.
It's eco-friendly.
Yeah. At the time, it was. It was super... that car used very little gas, but it also went really slow and was shitty. Anyway.
It performed just like you would think.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You knew exactly what you were paying for when you spent $6,000 on that car. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's next week. Geostorm, currently on HBO Max, is where you're going to be wanting to see that. And I think that's going to do it. Thank you all at home for helping us make a great Sacktober.
Happy Halloween.
It's one of our favorite things every year to do. We love it. I'm sad it's ending. But we'll be back in, a year to do it again. And all kinds of fun stuff in between. So, bunch of great movies lined up. Look forward to all of it. Geostorm starting next week. Filmsack.com is our website. You can email us, filmsack@gmail.com. And as always, follow us on Twitter @FilmSack. You can also leave us reviews wherever you get your podcasts. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for Randy.
I don't do checkers. I'm an Uno guy.
It wasn't as long as you told me it was going to be. That's all right, though. Goodbye, everybody. See you next week.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.